Where is God? Where is he to be found? We may answer that question on many levels. The heavens declare the glory of God, Psalm 19. The natural world, when through the woods and forest glades I wander. And isn't God everywhere? Omnipresent. If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. Famous words from Psalm 139. And as Solomon thought of the temple which he had built as a place for God to live in, he was overwhelmed by his awareness of God who cannot be confined. First book of Kings, chapter 8. Will God really dwell on earth? The heavens cannot contain you. How much less this temple I have built? And does not the Lord's Prayer teach us that there is a sense in which God is in heaven, where his will is done, as we pray that his will would be done here on earth. And Paul, writing to the Colossians, God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, that is, in his Son. My Lord and my God, was Thomas's confession of faith in the risen Jesus. And here in Psalm 48, the psalmist rejoices at God's presence in something notably human, a city, a place of buildings, of human activity, of human community. Verse 1, the city of our God, his holy mountain. Verse 2, the city of the great king. Verse 3, God is in her citadels. He has shown himself to be her fortress. Viewing Psalm 48 through New Testament spectacles, it's not hard to translate the psalmist's city, Zion, Jerusalem, into the church. Like this city, a human community, and like this city, a place where God is. I will build my church, said Jesus, on the rock of Peter's confession of faith in Jesus, Messiah, Son of the living God. Where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them. Matthew chapter 18. And the risen Jesus, I am with you always to the end of the age. We remember these assurances of Jesus quite often, and it is good that we do. How is God, how is our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we do not see or touch in a physical sense, how is he with us? He is with us by his Holy Spirit, given to us, poured out upon us, as we are people of faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, who rose from death, and who is our ascended Lord. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, in the Lord you are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. And Paul wrote those words not to an individual Christian, but to a gathering of Christian believers, to the church at Ephesus. Together we, his church, are the city of the Lord Almighty, the city of God, God's dwelling place. And God's city, the gathering of people where he is the joy of the whole earth, verse 2 of the psalm. Verse 10, like your name, O God, your praise reaches to the ends of the earth. Verse 11, the villages of Judah are glad because of your judgments. Verse 13, consider well her ramparts, view her citadels, that you may tell of them to the next generation. What blessings we have in God's city, God's church. By faith and through the working in us of God's Holy Spirit, we know we are in a relationship with God's dear Son, Jesus Christ, who came, who died for us and for our salvation. And we know him in his risen presence and power. He has given us a quality of life which we know as eternal life. And these blessings are not for us to keep hidden and secret. God's purpose is that the whole earth should share in the blessings of the city, the ends of the earth, the villages of Judah, the next generation should share in this joy. Isaiah says of the servant of the Lord, I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. In Jesus Christ, God's Son, God's love is overflowing, his mercy is generous. And if God's generous love has reached us, has reached even me, and drawn us to himself, into his church, his city, his presence, may we reflect outwards to others God's generous love, his generous mercy, his overflowing grace. And as the psalmist looks at God's city, he sees a place of security and strength and safety. It's not quite as straightforward, I suggest, to translate this aspect of Psalm 48 to us now, God's church on earth. What does the psalmist say? Verse 3, God is in her citadels. He has shown himself to be her fortress. Verse 8, God makes her secure forever. And in verses 4 to 7, there is a vivid picture of the city's enemies, the kings who joined forces and advanced together. They flee in terror. They are utterly destroyed, blown to matchwood, shattered by an east wind. And we may find a disconnect between some of these things that the psalmist says and aspects of life as we experience it as Christian people. The many things which assault us and which may in some sense damage and even derail us. with my apologies for labouring what might appear to be obvious, we are not immune from disease of body and mind, from accident, from misfortune, from disappointment, from the difficulties of age. And how many Christian people spend their final months or years in distressing weakness? We are not immune from, specifically, from persecution. Indeed, the New Testament warns us of its likelihood. We are subject to death, asserted by Paul, even as he rejoices in the resurrection in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, asserted by Paul to be still an enemy. In a fallen and broken world, the sin of others may affect us. And in our own fallen and damaged humanity, we may wander from God's ways. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Might our faith falter? Might our love grow cold? Whatever deliverances and healings and victories we may presently know, we do not yet see God's enemies utterly destroyed, shattered by an east wind. What are we to make of these statements of security and the destruction of enemies? I'm driven to the conclusion that they look forward to God's city, his church, his people, beyond this present earth and in eternity. And that this psalm, or aspects of this psalm, will have their great and final fulfillment in a heavenly city. And this is a New Testament theme. The letter to the Hebrews. By faith, Abraham obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. He was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Hebrews chapter 13. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. The final visions given to John at the end of the book of Revelation are of a city, the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Until then, let us, his church, his city here on earth, let us with the psalmist meditate on God's unfailing love in faith that, in the closing words of Psalm 48, he is our God for ever and ever, our guide even to the end. Amen.